A bipartisan bill in the Wisconsin legislature would allow ride-sharing companies like Uber and Lyft to operate statewide. In our state capitol report in this first half hour, we will talk with one of the bill's authors about how the plan would work and will address objections from Wisconsin taxi companies. And we will welcome your questions. Would you use Uber, Lyft, or some other ride-sharing company if it were available in your community? What questions or comments do you have about how they should be regulated? If you're in the taxi business, what do you make of this particular proposal? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Corey Mason, a Democratic state representative from Racine. He serves on several committees, including the Assembly Labor Committee. By the way, this week, the Assembly State Affairs and Government Operations Committee will vote on this bill on Wednesday. If it passes, it goes to the full Assembly. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, first of all, I'm even a little bit confused about what exactly a ride-sharing company is. So I understand this. Uber, for example, is a smartphone app.
Right.
That I can use that would connect me, a passenger, with a driver who has a vehicle for hire? Is that essentially it?
Yeah, that's basically it. For it to work, you have to have a smartphone, you have to have internet access, and you download an app, and you can request a ride from point A to point B. You type it into the app, and then it's actually a pretty clever app. You can see how far away your ride is on the map. And you're given a picture of the driver and the make and model of the car and the license plate of the car, so you know when the person getting there is who they say they are. And you can't hail an Uber car, you can't pay cash. It's all done via credit card. It's sort of like setting up an iTunes account where you have a credit card number on file, and when you use the services, it's charged to your credit card. So that's, in a nutshell, how it works.
Yeah, so if I do this, do I know that driver knows what he or she is doing?
Yeah, it's part of the reason we think the legislation's a good idea. So the bill requires some pretty good standards for consumer protection and safety. The car has to be up to a certain quality of safety. The driver has to undergo background checks, not just criminal background checks, but also has to prove that they've got a safe driving record. They have to carry $1 million worth of insurance from the time the driver's en route to pick you up until they drop you off. And there's very strict language on non-discrimination based on a person's race or gender or gender identity or where they're going. So there's part of the reason we need to do this bill is there are some places where the what are called transportation network companies or rideshare companies have some regulation, but in most of the state they don't. And so part of the reason I've been supporting this bill is it creates a strong statewide standard so that people have confidence that there's better protection when they use these services.
Yeah. Explain that more, though. Why does Wisconsin need to pass statewide legislation to allow these companies to operate statewide?
Yeah, it's a great question, Joy, and there's been a lot of disagreement about it, particularly from communities that have regulation in place now. They feel very strongly that it should just be regulated at the local level. If you think about it, though, there's over 1,800 municipalities in the state of Wisconsin. And so the idea of saying to one of these rideshare companies like Uber or Lyft that you'd have to figure out how to get a local ordinance to operate in all 1,800 of them is more than a little bit unrealistic. So for me, as somebody who's coming from the Racine community that doesn't have as robust an ecosystem of transportation options the way Madison and Milwaukee does, figuring out how to get a service like Uber or Lyft or Sidecar to come to Racine is really the motivation behind it. But even in Racine, I mean, if you get off the interstate in Racine County and drive to the city of Racine, you're going to pass through two or three other municipalities before you get to the city. And so even if the city itself did a regulation, it wouldn't be enough to sort of allow companies like this to operate effectively in the greater Racine area. So it's like a driver's license, or most professional licenses that we give out in this state are regulated at a statewide level for exactly this reason. I mean, we don't ask dentists to get licensed at the local level our driver's licenses are regulated at the state level. This just creates a level playing field across the state if these companies are going to operate in multiple jurisdictions.
Yeah, taxi companies aren't huge fans of this proposal. They argue that the local ordinances that they have to follow would be tougher than the statewide rules that ride-sharing companies would have to abide by. What about that? I've seen, especially in Madison, some taxi companies or supporters of them saying, well, just don't supersede our local ordinance.
Sure. I mean, I think that there's a question about, I mean, a big part of the question locally has been, and if you sort of compare the Milwaukee level versus the Madison level of debate on it, is Milwaukee's had an ordinance in place for over a year or about a year that sort of recognizes that there's a difference between these transportation network companies and taxi cab companies just in terms of how they work. I don't think these companies are taxi cab companies any more than iTunes is a record label. I mean, they're providing a service to consumers that's similar, but they're not exactly the same. In Madison, where the concern has been the loudest, is there's this insistence that they have to operate exactly the way that taxis do, and that's just not what TNCs are. They're worried about the competition, and I've heard that. I don't know that the state itself should be or the city locally should be have a dog in the fight about whether or not one group of corporations should have an advantage over another group of corporations. I mean, there's nothing in this bill that takes away Madison's local cab ordinances or Milwaukee's or any other jurisdiction that has a cab ordinance. What it does is it says there's these transportation networks coming online, and we should figure out have a statewide regulation to regulate those companies in a way that's fair and transparent and open for everybody.
Well, Katie on Facebook writes, I don't see any regulation. This is more of the Republicans' union-busting policies. These unlicensed cabs will take away jobs from traditional, safe, licensed cabs. I don't know why anyone would want to ride with someone who isn't certified to be a safe driver.
So it's a great question. There's a big misconception about one of the cab companies in Madison called Union Cab. It has no unionized workforce. There are no unions representing cab drivers in Wisconsin. At least no one's shown me one yet. So I think it's a real misnomer for people to say that this is a union-busting bill, since there are no unions representing taxi drivers anywhere in Wisconsin. At least no one's shown me one. There's no labor organization that's taken a position on the bill one way or another. And then in addition, the language that people have that this is some ALEC-driven right-wing approach to how to do this. I mean, the two states that passed statewide bills first were Illinois and California, both states with Democratic governors and Democratic legislators. I'm hard-pressed to believe that that ALEC or any of those kind of right-wing groups were able to successfully convince two very democratically controlled states to pass a bill like this. So I understand that there are some people who don't like it, but it's not the case that everything that you might disagree with is coming from ALEC or some right-wing group.
Mm-hmm. Paul in Madison is with Union Cab. Hi, Paul. Paul, are you there? Well, I don't know why we can't hear Paul. Maybe we'll try after we check the news. He was against the bill, but I don't have all of his specific reasons why he was a bit against the bill. I mean, presumably it is because a taxi company that is has to follow rules and regulations in a particular city is upset that they are going to get competition from a business that doesn't necessarily have to follow similar guidelines.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the critique that cabs have had about these transportation network companies all along, is they're just like cab companies, and therefore they have to be regulated just like we are, but they're not. I mean, they operate very differently. There's no dispatch there. There's no fleet of vehicles that they maintain. And in the way a lot of these ordinances have been written, is it's really become a way for just a handful of companies in some of these cities to sort of have complete control of the market. I think part of the reason the cab companies are upset about this is something that we often see with the internet called disruption, where people find a faster, effective, more elegant way to provide services to consumers, and oftentimes those incumbent companies really object to the competition. Again, there's nothing in the bill that takes away the local cab ordinances. It just says that there's going to be a statewide license with real protections in place on background checks and insurance that has to be covered, a non-discrimination policy, zero tolerance for drug and alcohol, and the ability for consumers to complain to the Department of State and Professional Services that does the licensing. So there's a different model in place, and they don't like that competition, but it's a new way that people are going to be able to get rides in the state of Wisconsin.
We'll talk more about this after we check the latest news with Corey Mason, Democratic State Representative from Racine. This is the State Capitol Report. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking in this first half of our State Capitol Report with Corey Mason, a Democratic state representative from Racine, who is one of the authors of a bill in the state legislature that would regulate and allow ride-sharing companies like Uber and Lyft to operate statewide. And we welcome your questions and views on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Representative Mason, in a nutshell, what does this bill do? What does it say it has to happen if you want to be, if Uber or Lyft and companies like it want to operate statewide?
Sure. It says you've got to apply for and get a license with the state Department of State and Professional Services. You get licensed statewide. But then before you can do that, the company has to meet certain standards. Again, the drivers have to have $1 million of insurance while they're on their way to get a passenger or giving the passenger a ride. They have to find a way to make sure that the drivers follow certain policies and meet certain standards in terms of criminal background checks and safe driving standards. There's non-discrimination language in there that says that the company can't discriminate against the passengers based on race or gender or gender identity or the destination that they're trying to get to. And it creates a framework roughly that allows these companies to operate, but then still gives consumers assurances that they're going to be insured and the person's been given a review in terms of background checks. And then if consumers have complaints, they can complain to DSPS, the state agency in Madison that would be responsible for the licenses, to review any complaints that are there. So it sets up a statewide license so that a company like Uber or Lyft or Sidecar could operate in multiple jurisdictions and have assurances that they'll be able to do business in Wisconsin without having to have a debate municipality by municipality on how they should work.
Yeah. And how do you think this bill might affect the state's economy?
Positively, I think. I think in other jurisdictions, what they've seen is the number of people who use rides, either with traditional taxis or with rideshare companies like Uber, Lyft, or Sidecar, actually increases. And so the pie gets bigger. Now, cab companies who've dominated in a particular city like Madison or Milwaukee or maybe Green Bay wind up having to compete for that pie in a way that they haven't before, and so that causes some heartburn. But there are lots of other places like Racine, which has never had a robust taxi service that the way that other cities have, that could really benefit from the opportunity for a company like Uber or Lyft to come in and offer some transportation services that our community really needs. We have declining bus services and declining public transit dollars. It's harder for people to get around in a community like Racine, and so this is one option that might be available to my constituents to allow them to move around.
Well, as we talked about before news, some taxi companies are not big fans of this. An attorney for Madison Taxi accused lawmakers of bending over backwards to help multinational ride-sharing companies at the expense of the extremely competitive taxi sector. You are seen as being a champion of labor issues. How do you reconcile that?
Yeah, I mean, I get that in Madison there are people who really dislike this bill, and I had the misfortune timing-wise to apparently walk into the one of the main issues where the candidates for mayor that are up tomorrow seem to strongly disagree. I mean, what I would say for people who say that this is about labor standards, I've had people talk to me from other jurisdictions who say they prefer driving for Uber or Lyft compared to working for the local cab company because they get treated better and they make better wages. So this idea that, again, nobody's breaking a union contract here, there's no unionized workforce that exists in the cab companies. And again, for a handful of companies to say that we've got cabs here, therefore the rest of the state and the 1,800 jurisdictions that exist there shouldn't have an opportunity to allow Uber or Lyft or Sidecar to come to their community. What about those labor standards? What about the job opportunities for someone in Racine or Eau Claire or Janesville to be able to work for some of these companies and have an opportunity to drive people around and make some money? I mean, I don't see it as – I know people in Madison in particular try to make this into an anti-labor piece of legislation, but again – for the rest of the state that like to see these services, and for some people who'd like the opportunity to drive for these services who don't live in a community with a cab, what about their job opportunities? What about my constituents' opportunities to move around the community and have real options that might go beyond cab companies that, as a model, have done well for a handful of companies but have really failed in a lot of other cities and villages that would like to have transportation services?
We have full lines in limited time. Paul in Madison from Union Cab did a call back after we lost his cell connection. Paul, very briefly, we've talked a lot about this. What's your concern?
Hello, Kathleen. Hello.
It's Joy, but go ahead, Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joy. I went to the Assembly and Senate hearings on Thursday, and we are very concerned about the safety limits being far too low for insurance. For instance, the lower limit on property damage insurance right now is $25,000 per incident. So if a Uber driver were to crash into, say, two cars, that would easily be negated. The licensing part of it is basically asking Uber as a non-employer to verify the safety of the people that are working for Uber through their application, which seems to blur the employment laws quite a bit. And the regulation of it through DSPS in the fiscal note, it says that only $5,000 is set aside annually. If there's any complaints, you're going to have to pay staff to follow up on the complaints. And I just feel like that the bill's underfunded, the safety limits are too low, and it's not in the best interest of the general public in terms of safety.
All right. Those concerns, Representative Mason?
Yeah, I mean, the bill does have a $5,000 annual licensing fee, but it also allows DSPS to assess fees to cover the cost of investigations to the transportation network companies. So there, if there are problems or investigations that need to be done, the TNCs are going to have to pay for that themselves, not at the cost to the taxpayer. So there are funding mechanisms in place to cover the cost of those problems. The insurance thing, I don't know how many times we can go through this, but from the moment a driver accepts that they're going to pick somebody up and presses that button on the app to go pick somebody up until they pick them up and then until they drop them off, they have $1 million worth of coverage. Now, if a driver is not driving around town doing Uber and is, you know, in their car going to the grocery store for their own personal need, they don't have the commercial license at that point because they're not driving for Uber or Lyft or Sidecar at the time. So we went to great lengths to make sure that there was strong and comprehensive coverage of $1 million while you're in pursuit of a ride or giving somebody a ride so that people in the public are protected.
Thanks, Paul. We have to get to some other callers. Matthew in Wauwatosa. Hi, Matthew.
Hi. I just had a comment to make. First, I think the statewide regulations, that's a fantastic idea. In general, when you get into any car of any sort, there's always risk involved. I find that risk, relatively well reduced when using ride sharing. And to a large extent, you know, before you're picked up, you know, who's coming to pick you up, you have an idea to get the plate numbers. You're able to match the plate numbers in the cars to the person who actually picks you up. And and I think, and I also think that the non-discrimination piece is also a great idea. Now, I remember times in the past as a black male, at a certain point in time, I don't get yellow cabs. I don't get them to stop for me. I never had that problem with Uber and Lyft. I mean, this was about 2 years ago.
Interesting, Matthew, and I'm sorry, we're so short on time and our connection with you is a little bit fuzzy, but I guess Matthew, he says, as a black man, finds a ride sharing safer and apparently maybe less discriminatory.
Yeah, we hear that from a number of people. And again, the bill does require when you use one of these apps, you're going to get to see a picture of the driver, the make and model of the car that you're going to get into, and the license plate. So you've got assurances there, but it doesn't, his comments are well taken. I mean, it is a bill that does not allow people to discriminate based on race or gender or class or gender identity or any of the things that we've seen problems with in the past with cab companies. Not the recent past, but in the past. And so I think it's a model that's going to work well for a lot of people, and it does mean more competition for transportation services in the state. But at the end of the day, I think those are positive services that are going to give more people opportunities and more communities to move around the state.
Yeah, Democratic State Representative Lisa Subic of Madison thinks the bill needs tougher anti-discrimination provisions. Also wondered how thorough any company-run background checks would be. Is there anything you can say to put her at ease?
Yeah, I mean, there is this concern that local folks have had about is there any redlining that would happen the way cab companies apparently had trouble with in Madison in the past, and wanting some assurances to improve that language. I'm open to an amendment that would improve that language that makes it clear that you can't discriminate based on where you're trying to pick the person up as well. And I think that's a fair point made, and I'd certainly be open to talking about legislation that would assuage those concerns. I don't think transportation network companies do that, but again, if people feel like they need that assurance to know that there's not going to be neighborhoods in a community that are going to be shut out of this service, I'd be open to adding that kind of legislation.
Yeah. Last question for you. How hopeful are you that this legislation is going to become law?
I'm very hopeful. I mean, you've got a very bipartisan group of people on this bill, everyone from, Tyler August to Mandela Barnes and Nakia Harris in Milwaukee that are on this bill. It's an unusual bill in terms of the political spectrum of people who've co-signed onto the bill. And I think it's an indication of how popular the idea is and how much it's really necessary to regulate these folks at a statewide level. So I'm optimistic it's going to become law soon.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Corey Mason, Democratic State Representative from Racine. He serves on several committees, including the Assembly Labor Committee, and he is the one of the authors of this bill that would regulate and allow ride-sharing companies like Uber and Lyft to operate statewide. This bill goes before the Assembly State Affairs and Government Operations Committee on Wednesday for a vote. If it passes, it will go to the full Assembly. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.